The GOP governor announces his bid for re-election, while a Republican opponent releases a damaging poll. Can the party be united? The mayor of South Bend tells voters he's gay. A judge clears the way for a trial on overcharges in the BMV, and a second county requests a needle exchange. That plus layups for Lauren and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending June 19, 2015.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, Governor Mike Pence kicked off his campaign for re-election in 2016. He did it in a speech to a GOP fundraising dinner. Pence said the state has seen dramatic improvements under his leadership, but he also said there is still work to do, and he acknowledged the controversy sparked by RFRA.
Indiana won't tolerate discrimination against anyone. It violates who we are as a people.
Did Mike Pence set the proper tone? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Nikki Kelly, State House Bureau Chief for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, and John Ketzenberger, President of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Schella. Ann Delaney, if you saw his entire message, it was pretty defiant. Did you expect that?
Well, what alternatives does he have? I mean, if he were really interested in ending discrimination, he would have announced that he was going to support an amendment to the Civil Rights Code to include gender. And
he said he's open to a discussion.
Open to a discussion. There's no discussion. You just say you're for it. If he isn't in favor of discrimination, he's for the amendment. Okay? He didn't do that. In fact, he didn't even take full responsibility for the terrible position he put Indiana in.
He did take some responsibility.
He took some, okay, but between him and the Republicans in the legislature, they're fully responsible for the embarrassment caused to the state. And part of as I always understood it, the Republican Party always stands for the right that everyone should stand on his own two feet. Everyone should accept responsibility for their lives and their mistakes, and apparently it doesn't apply to Mike Pence.
I thought, first of all, Mike, that it was interesting that he chose this venue, and it strikes me that he really wanted to send a message to the party because he knows there are a lot of people there who don't like at least
him.
Aspects of his performance.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I think he chose that venue for that very reason. And I went there wanting to hear three things. I mean, you knew he was going to announce his re-election campaign. But I wanted to hear three things, and I was interested to see whether he would do these things or not. One was to acknowledge the RFRA controversy, and he did that and did take responsibility. He took some of the responsibility for that, which I was delighted to hear him say. I thought that was important, and it's an important step for him. I thought the clip that you used where he said, "We won't tolerate discrimination against anyone," was very powerful for him to do. He paused, did it right, and it was important for him to say that. He also said, and I've noticed that there hasn't been a lot of attention to this, that we're going to find a way to make sure that we don't discriminate against anybody. I forget how he said it. I'm paraphrasing it very badly. But he did say, and the way I heard it and read it again today, was that they're going to find a way to deal with this situation. So that was the first thing I was looking for. Second one was that he was not going to run a campaign like he did last time where he didn't defend himself. I thought was very important. I tried to argue that when he ran the last time. It's even more critical now out of necessity, but he said it. I'm not going to do that. We're going to defend ourselves.
He said this is going to be a fight.
It's going to be a fight, and he's ready to do that. And I thought that was very important because, you know, I still argue that the reason the number was as close as it was last time is that it went 2 months without ever defending himself. The third thing he did was talk about his record, and he does have a pretty good record of accomplishment on everything from tax cuts to business climate to money for education. Okay. Those three things were the things I was looking for, and those three things he did, and he was very well received in an audience of 800 people.
Oh, 800 Republicans?
Well,
he's not well received. Who is
he?
Wait till the next topic. He's got some problems in the Republican Party.
So I was interested in what the atmosphere was going to be like, how it was going to handle this thing.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed, quite frankly, with the way he did it last night.
Mickey, he sent the message that his pledge to stay positive won't.
Yeah.
It's going to disappear.
Yeah, he did.
And
I think a lot of us were surprised by that, because ever since that initial race when he ran for Congress, he's been, you know, no negative campaigning. And to me, he just sort of threw down the gauntlet and said, you know, if you come after me, I'm coming after you, and you better be ready, which was, you know, very interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if his campaign does it or if he finds others to sort of do it for him.
I think he said anybody who wants to see a repeat of the 2012 campaign is going to be disappointed. Strong words.
Necessary words, because he understands the situation he finds himself in. He is responsible for the situation he's in. And if he wants to run and have a chance to win a governor's job next time, he has to not only sell himself to the public, but he has to ensure that they see the story that he wants them to see, because they've all got a view of the story that he doesn't want them to see.
And it's pretty clear, you know, regardless of the rhetoric that he puts out in there, in Indiana, you can be fired because of your sexual orientation or your gender identity, period. That is the law in Indiana.
And I will say,
and he hasn't changed it.
I mean, what he said on RFRA and that, I mean, he left it completely open. One person's reading it to say, well, you know, he's totally open to it. And another person thinks it says he slammed the door on it.
What he said to reporters earlier in the day
idea.
Is he said he wants to have a dialogue.
I clearly saw
the dialogue isn't necessary anymore. We know what the result is.
I clearly saw it, and I was there. I clearly heard it to say they're going
to
deal with it.
He has to defend.
They will.
He not only has to defend that, which is indefensible, he has to defend his record. And the fact of the matter is that we're seventh from the bottom in economic development, and our incomes have shrunk under his watch. And his trickle-down theory, which is the Republican mantra, is not working. For people here.
He's proud of the fact that the unemployment rate is down to 5.1%.
Education.
Let's move on. Some of the best test score results of any fourth in the United States.
Baloney.
I hate for you to get confused with facts.
You keep saying record funding for education,
and that's not true either.
Let's move on. On the day before the governor's announcement, a fellow Republican released a poll that is not good news for Mike Pence.
Bill Osterly has never hid his opposition to RFRA. This is what he said in March.
The so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act was very disappointing to us.
His poll suggests he's not alone. It asked voters if the governor deserves re-election, and just 32% said yes. 54% said someone new should take over. It's a sentiment you can find on Monument Circle.
Personally, no. I wouldn't vote for him.
46% agree that the governor's handling of RFRA was an embarrassment, and 40% believe it will have a negative effect on the Indiana economy.
The governor himself has said he could have handled that issue differently.
Pence campaign spokesman Robert Vane says the governor is interested in a RFRA dialogue, but wants to concentrate on jobs and education. That's where he fares better with voters.
Sound decisions, and I think he's gotten an unfair hit from the media.
I really do believe that that we are through the storm.
But there are still dark clouds on the horizon. In head-to-head matchups, the poll shows Pence tied with Democrat Glenda Ritz. And even though the sample includes more Republicans, he trails Democrat John Gregg by a single point.
Mike McDaniel, is that a wake-up call for the governor?
Clearly. I mean, these numbers are not that much different than what we had when the same pollster did this for another entity not too long ago.
Right after the RFRA controversy, his approval rating was 45, now it's 46.
And they're saying that the two potential opponents he was dead even with, which is basically where he was the last time. So there hadn't been much movement in it in the course of a month or a month and a half, whatever it's been now. But, you know, he knows that, and that's why I think you saw the speech you saw last night. And I think that's a positive, that he's recognizing where he is, and he's got to deal with it. And he's got to deal with it sooner rather than later. And I think they're on that track to do that now. And I, for one, I'm glad to see it, because I initially thought that maybe they were in denial about this thing, but they're clearly not. And we still have 500 and some days to go before the next election. There's a whole lot that's going to happen between now and then.
Two numbers leap out of that poll, the 32% reelect and then the 34% favorability. If you say Mike Pence's name, only 34% have a favorable impression.
That's shocking for an incumbent governor. I've never seen numbers like that put out before. So it is clear, and it's with an oversampling of Republicans. So
plus,
you know,
10 on Republicans.
But you know, under those circumstances, the numbers are worse for him. But I don't think he is dealing with it. I mean, the way to deal with it is to amend the Civil Rights Code. That's the way to deal with it. They could have done that the last session. They didn't do it, and he's not standing up there calling for it. The issue is not going to go away, nor is the fact that people are losing income in this state, and jobs, for that matter.
Okay, so Bill Osterly paid for this poll. They're expensive. Released it the day before the governor's announcement.
Obviously, held it for some time.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He's clearly got a motivation here. He says it's unlikely that he'll run. Do you think he's trying to recruit somebody to run against Mike Pence?
Duh.
Thanks, Ann.
That was an IQ test.
The other possibility is that he thinks Mike Pence might change his mind.
Well, and if that was the case, then he's sorely disappointed, because clearly the governor came out swinging last night. But I don't think that Osterly has given up on the idea of trying to find somebody to run against him. Now, trying to win a primary is going to be a no small effort. But by releasing the poll, by doing it, and by releasing it when he did, he clearly impeded on the governor's announcement and showed just how bad how deep a hole he's in right now, because the numbers that did change were the favorability numbers, which went down in the time between the last poll and this one.
So he's still dropping. And he's got a problem with Republicans.
Yeah, he does. And I think last night was, you know, his speech there was trying to bring him back in the fold and say we're going to take care of this. I think it all comes down to, right, I kind of think Bill Osterly has maybe lost the momentum. I thought if there was going to be another Republican who came out in the primary, it would have been right kind of the month and a half, 2 months after RFRA. And now I wonder if that has sort of passed, that likelihood.
Well, and the expectation is June 30th, the governor will report a huge fundraising number, and that'll be discouragement for anyone who wants to take him on in a primary.
It clearly is discouragement. But on the other hand, it's a different situation for him now. People have formed an opinion on him, okay? And the monetary advantage may not be enough to recreate Mike Pence, especially if they don't fix RFRA, which they won't do.
It probably puts a multiplier on that advantage and the money necessary, because if he's got those negatives that he has to overcome, then he's going to need even more money than he otherwise would.
I think it's easier to overcome or to project yourself when there aren't strongly held opinions.
Right,
about
I agree, and that's why he's going to need more money than even
money
what he's
going
to show.
I don't think money is going to be enough.
Is Osterly hurting the party?
Osterly, I think, is not doing anything different than what he said he was going to do when he made the initial announcement, which is to go out and explore the idea of whether or not he should run or whether he should find somebody else. The fact that they didn't offer all of the questions tells me they were exploring names of other individuals. And the fact that he didn't disclose any of those other individuals or those results probably tells me that they weren't as striking as maybe he thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
But, I think he's looking at it. I think he's trying to convince somebody to get in. But, you know what, these things are always boiled down to the final head-to-head race.
Right.
And
it's all
you're
about
always,
choices.
It's always about a choice at the end. And the fact that his numbers, being what they are, and he knows he's got a lot of work to do, is still the fact that he's even with the two primary Democrat opponents. It's pretty amazing to me, quite frankly, based on the controversy we've had.
Part of the issue there is
Glenda Ritz has an approval rating that's lower than his.
Well, because nobody knows who any of them are.
She also has a negative rating lower than his. But the bottom line is the primary, this is a split in the Republican Party between moderates and Tea Party. And the Tea Party vote in primaries. So it's going to be hard to unseat him. On the other hand, that makes him more vulnerable in November.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question: will the poll numbers prompt Mike Pence to change his position on statewide equality? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, only if a Republican challenger emerges. Last week's question: Should it be legal to smoke marijuana in a church? 44% said yes, 45% said no, 11% said Dave's not here. You got to love our audience. Random Cheech and Chong reference, we get 11%. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Now, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg let voters know this week that he is gay. Buttigieg is just 33, but he was the Democratic nominee for state treasurer in 2010 before running for mayor in 2011. Last year, he spent 6 months in Afghanistan as a member of the Navy Reserve and was the subject of a Washington Post profile that called him the most interesting mayor you've never met. He announced his sexual orientation in an essay published in the South Bend Tribune and later had this to say.
I hope it gets people thinking, and I hope everybody realizes that the sun came up today. I'm the exact same person I was yesterday. I'm looking forward to concentrating on economic development, neighborhoods, and making the city a better place.
It's a significant announcement for anybody who cares about this issue, but you know what's important is he's the mayor of South Bend today, and this is a big day, but tomorrow he'll still be the mayor of South Bend doing a good job, which is what good public servants are supposed to do.
And that's gay rights activist Rick Sutton, who says the Buttigieg announcement is another step on the way to equality. John Ketzenberger, is it surprising that Buttigieg did this in the middle of a campaign?
No, not really, when you consider there was some talk that maybe some opponents were thinking about making this an issue before he did, and so he got out in front of it. And I think it worked very well. The letter that he wrote was fantastic. It laid out all of the issues that needed to be laid out. His response on the media was also fantastic, and he nullified anything about his sexuality for the race, and as it should be, because there's no place for that in politics.
He said it's like having brown hair. But he's a Democratic town. He's a prohibitive favorite in this race. Nevertheless, Catholic community, could it hurt him?
I mean, he might lose a few votes here and there. I've heard nothing but good things up there as far as his, service and his, performance as a mayor. So I don't think it's going to cost him much. And I think some people might even, flock to him a little more because he, had the courage to come out and tell the world.
He's already been a statewide candidate. A lot of people think that he will be a statewide candidate again in the future. Will this hurt him if he runs statewide?
I think he's a rising star in the Democrat Party. I don't anticipate that this hurts him in any potential statewide race. I think he was smart to take advantage of the dramatic cultural change in attitudes about this entire issue. And the timing of it was good, even though it was in the middle of a campaign. I didn't know about the potential of other people bringing it up in a campaign. In fact, I'm disappointed in hearing that, but I thought he was taking advantage of the attitudinal change that's taking place all across this country, and I thought his timing was excellent.
And he referenced the upcoming ruling on gay marriage by the Supreme Court. He immediately, in some ways, becomes a gay rights activist.
Well, certainly a spokesperson. I mean, he's done such a great job for South Bend, and he's obviously served the country and everything else. That can be no fault found with his public service at all. And I give him a lot of credit for standing up and saying that and helping other people come to the realization that equality and the lack of discrimination in Indiana is an important part of who we should be.
Judge John Hanley cleared the way this week for a trial in a lawsuit against the BMV. This is all about overcharges that go back as far as 2002 and could total as much as $60 million. It's money that belongs to drivers in the state of Indiana. The legal fight is over who will get paid and who won't. It's also about whether the state must pay interest and attorney fees. And that could take the bill over $100 million. Lawyers were in court about a month ago, and the ruling not only throws out the BMV's request for a dismissal, it orders the two sides to take part in mediation. Class action attorney Richard Shevitz.
So far, the BMV has not given us much reason to be optimistic. Obviously, now this ruling changes the landscape dramatically. As I said before, removes all the obstacles that the BMV had been raising to these claims, and we're going to approach it as aggressively and optimistically as we can.
Nikki Kelly, do you expect that BMV will settle this case?
They seem to really be digging in on this one. I mean, on the first or second allegations of overcharges. They admitted, they refunded, you know, but on this one, they seem to really be digging in. And I sort of expect this one to go to trial. The only reason I would think it might settle is the longer this goes on, the more embarrassing stuff comes out in those depositions and all that legal paperwork.
Yeah. Set for trial in December. If you're the Pence administration, you want to deal with this before the election year, right?
I think you do enter negotiations to settle this thing for a lot of reasons, because the longer the thing runs and if it goes to trial, the reward may be much higher if you lose. Politically, it's a difficult issue for his administration if it comes up at that time. So I think the motivation to settle is very powerful.
But they've been to mediation once already without success.
Well, they thought they were going to get it dismissed, and obviously that didn't happen. So they ought to settle it. But, you know, it is a perfect example of complete mismanagement. I mean, they knew about these things. They covered them up. They didn't do what they were supposed to do until these lawsuits started, and they still haven't cleaned it up. And anybody who is responsible for these things just seems to get promoted someplace else. There's no personal responsibility in this Pence administration at all.
Well, they say they need if they're going to settle, it has to be good for the taxpayers.
Well, that's right. I mean, that should be the bottom line in this. But you're wrong on a couple counts, Ann. One, first of all, they announced they were going to give refunds, and the lawsuit was filed after they announced they were going to give refunds.
Yeah, they didn't announce they were going to refund it all.
Well, they did. You're wrong about that.
Not all, Mike.
You did.
I'm sorry.
So they've ordered into mediation, and believe me, I think the state wants to mediate this thing, but I'm not sure that the opposition attorneys want to mediate this thing.
Well, of course they do.
They don't seem very close together, I'll say that. All right, moving on. Madison County wants to become the second Indiana county with a needle exchange program, joining Scott County. A hepatitis C outbreak prompted commissioners to seek authority from the state to start the exchange. Last year, 130 people were diagnosed, nearly double the cases of 2013. Kelly Kelly of the Madison County Health Department.
When you have increased hepatitis C rates, then you need to be aware that HIV could soon follow.
If nothing else, we want to provide a clean environment when they do inject.
And that's Susan Meyer of Aspire Indiana. Ann Delaney, does the state have any choice but to approve that request?
Oh, of course not. But, you know, what's really sad about this is that the lack, you know, they had one clinic down there. It was a Planned Parenthood clinic that closed.
You're talking about Scott County.
In Scott County, but also in Madison County, you don't have enough health facilities, and rural Indiana is suffering. And the Republican administration has done absolutely nothing for them.
Well,
there are no jobs.
They didn't pass a law that high unemployment.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah. After you jump through enough hoops.
Yeah.
But this is going to go a lot higher than two.
Well,
right?
Oh, yeah.
First of all, you're going to have several counties around the state that are going to be heading in this direction. And again, they're right to do this because we have to get in front of these things instead of chasing them. And this is one way to do it. And the system is set up so that they can go to the state and get this approval. I'm confident they will. But you're going to see more states, especially around the ones
more
in
counties.
Southern Indiana, more counties around Scott County and others that are going to be in the same situation. So this is just the beginning of a long, long process.
There are
process.
A lot of rural counties with high unemployment and no prospects.
Big problem for the State Board of Health.
The Board of Health. Yeah, I mean, I expect the commissioner to approve this one. I mean, it seems like statistically they've proven their case, and I'm glad that the legislature thought to expand that. You know, during the session, they had to kind of go at this quickly at the end of session, and I'm glad they made it available for other counties.
Finally, the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky honored Lauren Hill for her fight against cancer this week. The 19-year-old Hill from southern Indiana died in April from brain cancer. She played basketball as a student at Mount St. Joseph University in Cincinnati. The Fever made Hill an honorary team member, and her jersey was placed on the bench. Hill's parents, Lisa and Brent Hill, say they're honored. The team is continuing to push for a cause that Lauren was very passionate about.
Essentially, she left us the mission. She handed it off, and we're now her voice. Everybody, you know, even all of you are her voice to keep pushing the mission forward and helping that all these families hopefully one day don't have to go through what we said and watched Lauren go through.
Mike McDaniel, does Lauren Hill deserve the ESPY Courage Award that's going to Caitlyn Jenner?
Absolutely. I think that this is an amazing story and one of great courage, and what this young lady did to bring attention to these problems and the money she raised has been a national story over and over. I think the Fever should be applauded for doing what they did. And if the ESPYs can pick Caitlyn Jenner over this story, I have no idea. I mean, this one dumbfounds me. I'm sorry.
You understand it?
No, I'm happy to say that for once I completely agree with Mike.
And at that point, we got to go. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Nikki Kelly of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.